What time is it? It's Packard Folks at time. Hat? Check. Shirt? Check. Pants? Optional. Mug? Double check. Check us out at cafepress.com/PackardFolksAt where you can get all this great merchandise and more.
Do you like Packard Folks at and want to hear it on demand and on the go? Download the free app today at Stitcher.com. Available on iOS, Android, Nook, and iPad.
This is Packard Folks at, and I'm poking at your news.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another fine edition of Packard Pokes At. I am your immutable and unmutable host, Packard Sonic. And joining me tonight from the far west coast is Connie Practical Magic 9.
Happy Hobbit Day.
Yes, it's the first day of fall. Oh, by the way, this is season 6, episode 1, by the way. I'm trying to remember to put these in there if I can. So we're into our 6th season. So.
Woohoo.
Yeah, if we'd actually been doing seasons right off the bat, we'd probably be in season, 500, something like that. I don't know.
Maybe Methuselah.
Yeah, something like that.
Yep.
And joining us from the far east coast is the Atheist Ranger.
Hello, everyone.
And joining us from the ill that is Illinois is Matt, not a believer, 71.
Hello, everybody.
You've ever heard of the Ring of Fire? And I'm not talking about the Johnny Cash song. There's probably people go, who's Johnny Cash? What are you talking about? Ring of Fire? Well, the Ring of Fire is also known as the ring that goes from the northern plate of Antarctica all the way around the Pacific plate around to the Indian-Australian plate. It basically encompasses the Pacific Ocean there. And around that plate, there is a lot of friction because the plates are moving closer together. Well, I'll be dead before that happens, but maybe we'll be able to drive to Australia or something. Who knows?
I'd rather drive to Hawaii, but not if the ocean's gone.
Yeah, well, most of the ocean will probably be gone by that point, and the Atlantic Ocean will be much, much larger at that point. And our plates are basically colliding slowly together. People look at the ground and they say, hey, this is pretty solid. Actually, we're not. We're actually floating on a sea of lava and substrate stuff. Best way I could put it. In Mexico, because of the fact is they are on that Ring of Fire in a big way, they experienced 2 earthquakes back to back. One was a 7.1 and another one was an 8.1. What's interesting about that is one of these earthquakes actually triggered a volcano. With volcanoes, they like to be kind of left alone for the most part. I mean, because they're seeping, bubbling cauldrons of lava that are close to the surface. And when they get ready to pop, sometimes they will trigger an earthquake. And in other cases, because the earthquake is happening, it will actually trigger them. So in this instance, the earthquake that happened in Mexico actually triggered a volcanic eruption over in
Popocatépetl. Yeah. Sorry.
I was practicing actually, and I switched off the page for a second. I forgot where it was. A Popocatépetl.
It's actually an Aztec name and not a Spanish name. And okay. So I have trouble with these words a lot. Okay. So.
Well, it's located in southeast Mexico City. The volcanic eruption caused a church to collapse during a mass at the foot of the mountain, killing at least 15 worshipers. I guess they weren't praying hard enough to their volcanic god. I'm just saying. But a lot of people were killed by this volcanic eruption as well. Over 217 people, roughly.
Yes. Yeah.
And the earthquakes, too. So volcanoes have always been a fascination for me ever since I was a kid. And the fact is that while we know a lot about them, we still have not scratched the surface because we don't know when they're going to erupt always. We can get clues, but sometimes those clues don't always pan out. And sometimes they just pop when we least expect it. Connie, your thoughts?
Well, geological studies, they're not an exact science. Again, because there's a lot of factors, I think, that we, I don't know how they can evaluate them. What was interesting about all of this that happened to me was Mexico City sits atop an ancient shallow lake, and the soil and sediments of that washed in from surrounding mountains thousands of years ago in the early 1300s. Attracted by those fertile soils, the Aztecs selected an island in the lake in which to build their capital, Tenochtitlan, which eventually became Mexico City. And the Spaniards who came in drained the surrounding waters to prevent the flooding that happened frequently. But the problem is that the land that Mexico City is built on basically is an ancient lake bed, and it's sand. And so what happens with that land is that if air blows through it, liquefaction happens, and it basically sand becomes like water.
Yes.
And in 1985, 10,000 people were killed in Mexico City by a quake that happened like 100 miles south of Mexico City. But the effects were that, you know, the vibrations caused liquefaction, and the city just toppled. All these big buildings toppled because it's a really huge, it's one of the most populated cities in North America area. I mean, and we don't know for sure if that's what happened here this last week, but they suspect it was another case of liquefaction, and it becomes like jello. And I saw this video where it's like, it's really freaky to see what happens when air blows through this this loose soil. So
I've seen a lot of videos like that where they talk about the liquefaction. It'll happen when also when the soil becomes so oversaturated with water that it just can't hold it anymore, and that then it just becomes, that's where you get like a lot of landslides and whatnot. So I mean, but in this instance, it's not just it is air that's getting under there, because you know it's not an area that has a lot of rain, but I mean they do get a lot of motion in there. So
right so you know, it's very unfortunate. There's been a heck of a lot of crap that's hit the fan this last month. So,
you know, what was interesting about this article is the fact is it's, I know aftershocks can take place, you know, sometimes usually within the first few minutes or sometimes days. The article here says it can happen up to months later. So those wouldn't necessarily be the primary earthquakes. When we have like one of a few months later, that could be actually a result of an aftershock. Now, because this earthquake was so large, I almost hate the fact that we have a 24-hour news cycle now, because religious people see this kind of stuff happening. They go, oh my God, it's the end of the world. It's the end of the world. It's like, no, we have earthquakes all the time, literally all the time, because the earth, it's a living planet, basically. Like I said before, the planet is on a sea of lava and whatnot. So we are floating around up here. So the fact is that we have earthquakes all the time is nothing new. This happens all the time. And California, since it's right above Mexico there, and they are on that ring of fire, people were thinking that, hey, maybe we're going to get that big quake that we've been expecting for some time. And there was a tweet that came out from a person who's a seismologist here. And she basically had said that, no, this is not going to happen. She says, M3 quakes happen somewhere in the world every few minutes. Six in Southern California last week. No connection to Mexico. The earth doesn't care you felt it. The earth doesn't care if you feel it or not. It happens all the time. So the fact is that, no, the world's not coming to an end because we had a really big earthquake. It just doesn't mean that. Atheist Ranger, your thoughts?
Well, given my personal experience of having survived a tiny earthquake in Delaware, believe it or not, a few years back, all I can say is earthquakes is probably one of the natural disasters that's very, very unpredictable. Whereas, I mean, at least with hurricanes, we can see them coming. With earthquakes, you never know when they're coming, and it's probably one of the most helpless things you can go through.
You know what's really unsettling. It is very unsettling. I've never been in an earthquake. That's why they make earthquake rides, I'm assuming, because you know that people think it's fun. The thing is, earthquakes don't kill anybody. They've never killed anybody. It's the buildings that we inhabit that are not ready for those earthquakes, because we don't know how to make a good structure that can overall handle that kind of shaking, and stuff falls on us. That's what causes it. It's not the earthquake itself. It's the result of the buildings that we inhabit that fall down on top of us, because we don't know how to build stuff on top of a land that can shake and rattle around.
Yeah, the unsettling part was when it hit, I was at work, but I was at the top floor of the hotel.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, geez.
That's some helpless BS. That's some helpless crap right there.
Yeah, exactly. If you're on top of a building that's way up there, the building starts swaying around. What are you going to do? There's nothing you can do. You're stuck inside the building. Matt, your thoughts?
It's pretty scary when you get into one of these earthquakes. I've never been in an earthquake, but I wouldn't want to. But, seeing all the footage from, all the things that are going on in Mexico right now. And, when you had said, earthquakes don't kill anybody, the buildings do. And you're right, because a lot of these places, especially in Mexico, the buildings, I don't think, are built properly. Because just looking at the footage, you see, as the earthquake was happening, you see the one building that just basically fell to the ground. When earthquakes hit California, you really don't see that.
Yeah.
They may shift, or they might have some structural damage, but they haven't collapsed.
Right. If you remember back in the, I think it was like 1980, 1981, there was the World Series was just about getting ready to take place.
Oh, that was 89. Yes.
Was that 89? I was in the
89 in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Okay. It was San Francisco. I remember it was in the 80s. I didn't remember which part of the 80s.
It was 89, and the game was just starting, and earthquake hit.
Yeah. Yeah. That part of it I remember. I didn't remember the date. But the fact is that the earthquake in there was so large. We thought it's like, oh, yeah, we get earthquakes all the time out here. We can deal with an earthquake. Apparently, we were wrong, because if you see the footage from that time period, there were like these multiple decked roads that literally ran right on top of each other. And they came down flat as a pancake on top of each other.
The bridge. San Francisco Bridge, Bay Bridge.
Well, that was not just bridge. It was not just the bridge. It was not just the bridge.
Well, they were elevated roadways. And that's part of the reason here in the Pacific Northwest, everybody's been looking at this one road, and that's why we were digging this huge tunnel. They're saying, yeah, this thing, we don't want to have what happened down in 89 to happen here, because it's a major thoroughfare into, I think it's off of 99, but it's a major thoroughfare into downtown Seattle. And there was something that was said about this quake down in Mexico. The advantages, we find out more and more about how should we be building our buildings. And I would just have to say, first of all, this is a really good case for better LNI and better construction standards. But we've found because of the 89 quake in San Francisco and other desert quakes, it's like the more shock absorption we can build into buildings, the better they are, rather than being really stiff.
Right. They have to counterweight everything.
They have to. Yes. What they've been doing is sometimes I've seen videos on this where they will do is they will put like a counterweight in the top of the building. So when the earth starts swaying one way, it stays with it. And so it keeps it from moving too fast one way or the other. And it'll stay with the shaking of the earth. And it's supposed to work. Or they will put special plates where it float, as it were, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. So they're building the buildings not quite into the ground, but they're like on these big rubberized things. So they won't shift around. It's really interesting when you come to that kind of engineering.
Well, people who live in areas where tornadoes run rampant. Mm-hmm. They have these a lot of the new construction now are built with special rooms in the house. Like even if the house has a basement, you go to this special room and it's like a safety room.
Yes. Yeah. Oklahoma.
I don't know what it's made out of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oklahoma, Arkansas, and all those places.
Yeah, in Tornado Alley. They know that certain materials with tornadoes, we can kind of predict tornadoes to a point.
Right.
we're starting to get more of a clue on those. But because we know the wind speeds of the tornado and what it's not the wind speed that kills you, it's the debris that the winds pick up.
Right.
And then that starts shooting at you. That's what those safe buildings are made from is there's a whole company that's built around, I wish I could remember the name of it off the top of my head. I haven't researched it in some time, but they built these safe houses so they can withstand the impact of 2x4s and things like that being thrown at it. They literally, with air guns, just shoot 2x4s right towards these buildings and see if they can get them to crack, break, or whatever. And that's where most of your deaths happen, is because of just the debris.
It's scary.
It is. It is. Our planet is amazing. Also trying to kill us at the same time.
Mother Nature.
Yep, Mother Nature.
Dear penis, I don't think I like you anymore. You used to watch me shave. Now all you do is stare at the floor. Oh, dear penis, I don't like you anymore.
Yeah, you heard that bubble, right?
Sorry, I can't help but laugh.
what's interesting about biology is that sometimes we talk about how, hey, everybody's got their, you know, the bigger dick syndrome. You ever heard that saying before? It's actually closer to the truth than you might think, because with male ducks, if they are left alone together, just the males, their penises will actually get longer, which is a weird thing, but it's really kind of cool that evolution takes this particular path. With male ducks, their penises are kind of like a corkscrew. They turn one particular way. And when they get the males all together, their penises actually get larger because they're not fighting for the resources of a female. So they're just evolutionary trying to outdo the other one. So they make sure that they, when they do get that opportunity, that they are going to be able to mate and reproduce. With the females, this is really interesting. Now, and some Republicans don't get this and they think that women can shut down stuff, but I'll come to that here in a minute. I'm getting ahead of myself. With the female ducks, their vagina is actually a corkscrew as well, but they can actually twist their vagina to accommodate the male duck that they want, or turn it the opposite way if they, say, get a duck that is like, hey, I don't like you. I don't want you to reproduce with me. I don't want your genes in me. It will actually twist the other way and it'll become a dead end for any sperm the male duck left, which is really interesting. It just shows you that evolution finds a way one way or the other to prevent things. And going back to the Republicans for just a minute, they seem to think that human women can do the same thing, because if you remember, there was that one Republican who said, the body has a way to shut that down. Women are not ducks. I'm just saying. All right. Sorry, I'm off on a tangent here, but the duck thing is really interesting. Now, it says here, according to the article, when it comes to sex, male and female ducks are locked in an intense sexual conflict that has led to some serious weird genitals on both sides. Typically, female ducks pair off with preferred mate during the breeding season, but they also get harassed by guys that don't take the hint. Scientists estimate that a third of all duck matings are forced, leading to a genital arms race, which is why the twisted configuration of the female's reproductive tracts, or oviducts, restore female choice. While the male's corkscrew-shaped penis twists in a clockwise fashion, the female oviduct twists the opposite direction. The result of the majority of forced copulations don't lead to any fertilization. Connie, your thoughts?
If only.
I know, right?
Oh, by the way, Todd Aiken is the guy who said legitimate rape. But
yeah,
that's just so strange that what we might consider a lower life form, I'm not an argument about whether we're more intelligent or anything, but POTUS. You know, okay, though, actually, that is a funny picture to think about, him grabbing women on the pussy, and all of a sudden their vaginas turn the other way. Oh, please. If only that had happened sooner.
Yeah.
This is such a weird story, though. I'm just like, what? Anyway, that's really all I have to say about this, but go female ducks. I don't know. Go ducks.
Go ducks. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ranger, your thoughts.
Every time I read this, I can't help but think of, you remember those specific Looney Tunes scenes where Daffy Duck and Bugs Bunny would argue whether or not it's rabbit season?
Yes.
I keep picturing that, except those two comparing their dick sizes. I can't help it.
But, there's an image I won't get out of my head anytime soon. Thank you.
You're welcome. There's one episode of Looney Tunes you'll never see.
It's rabbit dick season. No, it's duck dick season.
What kind of said, I can't. Too bad Donald Trump's sexual assault victims didn't have this.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, his wife, but anyway.
Matt, your thoughts?
Talk about getting screwed. Well, looking at these pictures of this thing, and you know, the female duck's reproductive organs, how it can like reject the male, looks like it got caught up in something.
Well, yeah, you know, pigs' penises are also corkscrew too.
Okay, but I have to say, no disrespect to the male population,
mm-hmm.
but I mean, if human females could do that, all men would be screwed. I mean, it can work in certain ways, like in instances of a rape or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that would be a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, but it's just weird how, you know, it's genetics. You know, it's just weird.
Yeah, it's just the way evolution decided to play out for these animals. Now, what's really interesting,
advantageous. thing, actually, if you think about it. It's
yes, it is. It's very advantageous for the female, actually, because they can say, hey, I don't want my genes mixed with yours because your bill is on backwards or something. I don't want my duckling to look like that.
Isn't that a more intelligent, the reason that they're reproducing? What's their, I don't know what their criteria is, but...
Well, it's possible that the female might have fear of that duck, of that male duck.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's why she's rejecting them.
Yeah.
Or they don't smell right, because animals have different pheromones than we do, and they go, okay, you don't smell right, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm. Could be a scent thing as well.
Yeah, it could be any number of things.
Right.
Why one a female duck says, this duck is acceptable and that one is not acceptable. I don't know.
I'm sure it probably happens in other animals too.
Not to this degree, not for the...
No, maybe not to this degree, but you know, like in, I remember seeing something about some kind of animal and dealt with mating, and it's common in animals for them to reject somebody sexually.
Yeah. It's called a bar. And that's when you get out the 20s, you know, 20, 40, 60.
Oh, God, our sick minds.
We had a comment from the chat room. Thank you for your comment from Herc's Rants. This is, why do female ducks remind me of old girlfriends? I'm just...
Ah, oh, you quack me up.
Oh, this whole story is quackers.
Not what it's all quacked up to be.
Yeah, definitely not all what it's all quacked up to be.
Just put it on our bill. Oh, okay.
Put it on the web.
Oh, some of these jokes are laying eggs.
Oh, God.
You beat me to it.
What a bump.
While we are poking at your news, you can poke us at Facebook and Twitter, or poke us with an email at ppapodcast@gmail.com, or leave us a message at 662-709-PPAP. Join us live on YouTube/PackardPokesAt on Friday nights at 9 p.m. Central Time. Be part of the conversation by live chatting with us during the show. Enjoy the show? Help support us by becoming a monthly patron at patreon.com/PackardPokesAt, or look awesome by buying something at cafepress.com/PackardPokesAt. No money, no problem. You can help us by sharing the show with friends and rate us on iTunes and Stitcher. For everyone that shares and rates us, you kick ass.
The Atheists,
the Bible,
and No Wardrobe, the podcast.
Wait a minute. No wardrobe? You mean we're going to be naked while we do this?
Well, seeing how I'm an atheist and I'm reading the Bible, and since clothes are flammable...
Fire! Fire! Fire!
I thought it might be a good idea to take them all off first.
Naked or not, follow along as we read, analyze, and try to keep you from falling asleep as we go through this boring-ass book.
Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spreaker. Who knows? We may even be on YouTube someday. And be sure to join us for our secondary podcast, The Atheist, the Bible, and No Wardrobe. We're still in the book of Exodus, and in the last chapter we talked about the terrorist Moses. And yes, he was a terrorist. I mean, if he actually existed, he would have been considered to be a terrorist based on his actions. Just saying. If you don't believe me, listen to the episode yourself. Go to find it on iTunes and Stitcher. It's right there.
No sex, no drugs, no wine, no women, no fun, no sin, no you, no wonder it's dark.
If you go to certain colleges, some of those colleges are religious in nature. One particular college here that's religious in nature is called Wheaton College. You may be familiar with it, may not have. I certainly wasn't until recently, because five Christian athletes were facing felony charges after allegedly sodomizing a student. Why would they do that? Why would they do that? Apparently, at this particular college in Illinois, they will expel you if you have premarital sex. So they find out that you've been having sex before you get married. Yeah, you're out of there. Like, it's any of your business what you do with your body and your junk with another human being before you get married. And I know that they go with this whole, well, we got to follow the Bible. Well, then you would have no problem with that, because the Bible is full of guys that had multiple wives, multiple concubines. Those are women you just had sex with that you didn't marry. They're just there. So the fact is that they would throw you out for that is total garbage. And that's just one of the things here. They'll also kick you out if you're in a same-sex relationship or if they see you kissing each other. There have been times when somebody has put up a flag of the LGBT and they just took that stuff down like right away. They're just like, boom, that's not allowed. That's not allowed. I was like, why would you do this? The reason why we're talking about that, and I mentioned that before, is that these five students, when they did this alleged sodomy, they didn't do it just once. They did it twice. Or it's happened twice in that same area. And apparently they had kidnapped one student. They took him right out of his room, pretended to be Muslims. And it says here, after the vehicle began moving, the players played Middle Eastern music and made offensive comments about Muslims, according to the victim's account. At one point, the players suggested to the freshman that he had been kidnapped by Muslims who wanted to fornicate with goats. And the teen told the investigators that they patted his foot and suggested he would be their quote-unquote goat for the evening. Later in the drive, the victim said they pulled down his shorts and tried inserting something into his rectum. He resisted, but they punched him and he was taken to an empty park without his cell phone. Okay, that part I really don't care all that much about, because there was an age at one time where something like this happened, you didn't have a cell phone anyway. Cell phones are just kind of a new invention within the last 30 years. So being without a cell phone is, I don't care about that much part. Anyway, I'll get onto that another time. The only reason he'd made it back to his campus was because a second student that was taken to the exact same spot and the person's friend came looking for him. So apparently they may have done this twice. That's why I mentioned that they may have done this previously. It wasn't long before the victim moved out of his dorm, eventually enrolled in another school. Good for him. Now, apparently these five students, all this stuff got brushed underneath the rug, as it were. There's like, oh, well, you've got to do some community service about 50 hours, write a letter or the equivalency of writing on the chalkboard. If you've ever seen The Simpsons, you see Bart saying, I won't do X, Y, or Z on the chalkboard. Pretty much what it was, just like write out something and say, oh, I did a bad thing, blah, blah, blah. And that was the extent of it. What they did, they may call it hazing, but the fact is this was kind of, I think it was kind of a bit of a terrorist act on this kid, because they basically kidnapped him and made him try to do certain things to him. And this particular college has an anti-hazing rule where it basically, it says, Wheaton College athletes exist to develop Christian faith, character, and leadership through competitive sports programs by running the race to win. As a Christian community, we honor Jesus Christ and our relationships one of another and our teams. Apparently these students didn't get the memo on this, and it just goes on. Connie, your thoughts?
The thing is that every single athlete or person at Wheaton College who wants to participate in either athletics or extracurricular things has to sign this. Every single one of these linebackers, and that's who they were, these five rapists are linebackers on the team. And the person that this lawsuit came about, he was a transfer, a recent transfer. So he just had arrived at the school like within weeks. And I guess he was also supposed to be on the team.
Mm-hmm.
And they kidnapped him, which is one of the things listed here you're not supposed to be able to do. And they were assaulting him. They, you know, applying a foreign substance. They duct taped his legs together. They dislocated his shoulders. They tried to rape him with an object. And shortly after this, when he was able to get back, he called his parents and he called the police, the campus police, and he drove to the hospital, and his grandparents who lived nearby picked him up, but he withdrew from college. This is supposed to be a religious college. And what gets me is that if this had been somebody flying a gay pride flag, they would have been expelled immediately.
Mm-hmm.
I really think that it had everything to do with the fact that they cared more about their winning football team. I think it had everything to do with, I don't know, everybody being kowtowed. And I don't know. Evidently, hazing isn't gay and rape isn't gay as long as, you know, it's not two people who really love each other. I don't know. This is an ugly story. And Wheaton College, guess what? This happened last March. The five students who were talking about who committed this played last Saturday. And it's just this week that everybody's been said, hey, you have to turn yourself in. Three of the five students who committed this crime have turned themselves in. Two are still outstanding.
Yeah. You know, when I was reading that, that's what something that really irritated me. These people committed a crime, and because they've been shielded by this college because they play football. And that's something that's also irritated me, because if you play football and you're really good at it and you're part of a really good team, you're kind of almost above the law. You're really close to it.
It's boys will be boys.
Yeah, sorry. Exactly.
Yeah.
No, you're right. You're right. It's boys will be boys. And part of that is also is that because they were on a football team and everything like that, they's like, oh, well, you committed a crime, but we're not going to come looking for you, even though we probably have your address and all this other stuff like that. We're not going to come out to your house. You know, if I had done something like this, you know how soon I'd have an officer knocking at my door? Like almost immediately. They wouldn't say, hey, you do a really good job doing what you're doing, so we'll let you slide for right now. And then, well, once you're done with that, we'll come back later when you're not so busy or something, you know, or winning a football game or whatever. That's just total garbage.
Well, all of these young men are over the age of 18. Mm-hmm. These aren't youth crimes.
Exactly.
So
yeah,
they
follow
should
the
be
money.
Follow the money. They should have been arrested, and they should have all been put in jail. Not say, oh, we have an outstanding arrest warrant, but we're not going to go looking for them. I mean, you know where these people are. You have an idea where they are. Find them. Put them in jail where they belong. Ranger, your thoughts.
I never got that whole shtick anyway of athletes being above the law. It's like, okay, just because you're good at football, that does not mean that you can get away with whatever the hell you want. I mean, look what happened to, I think it was Ray Rice. He knocked out his fiance. I'm fairly certain he got charged for it. But yeah, this is just unbelievable. And it makes me more mad that the mainstream media is not covering this at all. I guarantee you, if Muslims had done this, it would be like front page Fox News.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, the top story on Fox News.
Oh, yeah, absolutely it would be.
That's a great point. That's a really great point, especially considering that these assholes decided to pretend to the person they kidnapped that they were.
Yeah,
exactly. To make that look bad. No, you're... No.
Yeah, and to make it worse, I deal with idiots, at least on Google Plus and Facebook, certain Christian idiots who even deny the existence of Christian terrorists. I'm like, dude, get away from me, okay? I'm not just talking with you.
Yeah, no kidding. We have a comment from the chat room. I just want to read that in here real quick. From Herc Rants again, thank you for your comment. Christian emperors in that Holy Roman Empire were still having concubines and multiple wives well into the 3rd century. And yeah, they were. So this whole narrative of this, like, oh, Christian values. Yeah, don't think so. Your Christian values are no short of terrorism, honestly.
And aggressive.
And aggressive. Yes, exactly. Matt, your thoughts.
Actually, it's been, you know, a hot item here because, you know, I live in Illinois. So I was thinking, remember the Penn State issue, the coach from the football team who was molesting those young boys?
Yeah.
And how long it took for him to be charged for that?
Oh, yeah. Years.
Right. And it's all being swept under the carpet. I mean, a lot of people are saying, oh, well, they've already served their punishment from the school. Well, yeah, but you guys did something wrong. So, of course, they're going to be charged now. I mean, it's just the whole thing is ridiculous.
Well, the thing is here that while the school gave them a punishment, it was no better than a slap on the wrist. I mean,
basically, yeah.
We have reasons why we have incremental things for incremental crimes. I mean, if I say steal a candy bar, they're not going to take and cut my head off. Say, oh my God, you took a candy bar. I'm going to just you're going to lose a limb. You're going to lose your neck, whatever. They don't do that. And the Bible, if you're actually familiar with your Bible, was one punishment for all crimes. You did a thing, death. You did this other thing, death. Well, in this instance, the punishment does not fit the crime. Oh, you have to write an essay or something like that and serve community service. You terrorized another human being. You don't get to go, oh, well, I'm sorry, and I'll write my name on the blackboard 100 times.
Right.
That's not equal punishment for the crime. If he had gone and said, I'm going to do this thing to you but never do it, then, yeah, I would say, yeah, do an essay that says, yeah, I'm not going to do that. It's somebody. Okay? That would be equal punishment for that. By saying it doesn't mean I'm going to do it. But doing it is a whole other level. You've taken it to a whole other level at that point, and then say, oh, write your name on the chalkboard 50 times.
Well, taking somebody against their will is illegal.
Yes.
Which is what they did.
Yes.
And then all the stuff that they did to them. And it's a Christian college.
Yes.
You know, it's actually a pretty popular college.
Been around since 1860.
No, I was going to say, I mean, in most kidnapping cases, you get at the very least 15 years.
Mm-hmm. Why aren't they getting at least that?
Yeah.
And I've seen stories just in this area where I live. And this is a cultural thing. All right, I'm going to explain this really quickly. Try to explain this as much as possibly can. I live in a community where there's a lot of Hmong culture. That's what they call themselves, Hmong. I'm not trying to be racist in any way. That's what they call themselves. And part of their culture is if they like a girl, they will actually just kidnap her for several days and then return her. They don't realize that that's a federal offense by kidnapping another human being. And there's been instances where that's happened. It's gotten on the news, and that person gets up to 10 years in jail just because they, you know, it's a cultural difference. You don't do that here. There, it was acceptable, may have been acceptable. It's not acceptable here because we have rules about that.
If you kidnap somebody and you're charged with that, and you know, you get that conviction, you have to register as a sex offender.
Now that might be part of it. I don't know. All I know is that they got sentenced for time. So,
well, I think what will happen is they'll probably plead out and get another slap on the wrist, and you know, that'll be the end of it, I think.
Yeah,
that's usually what happens.
Yeah,
with these possibly. Cases.
Yeah. Until they wind up on America's Most Wanted, or you know, whatever rag mag that there is now, and their football career is washed up and they've beaten their wife or some crap. I mean, it just, okay, I don't have the article up here, but Wheaton College a few years ago had a problem with some kind of a spirit week thing that the football team did, and they did a KKK related skit, and I'm like, what is this endemic with your school or what?
We're gonna do a KKK skit. Do the skinheads lose? No. Well, then it's a bad skit.
It was, so, and again, I'm sorry I don't have the source here, but it was something I ran across. And
wow, that's just horrible. That's just horrible.
Yeah, it's really screwed up.
Yeah.
It's the Onion Radio News.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
People love their pets, right? I get that. People love their pets, and they wanted, sometimes they dress them up and silly costumes or just make them look goofy, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, the animal doesn't seem to object. It makes a cute photo sometimes, but the problem comes in when you use the money to do that, when it comes out of the money from your pocket and my pocket, and we were not asked to do that. A little bit, it's like stealing here. Well, it is stealing here because an Arkansas woman used government funds to buy her dog a tuxedo. Okay, that's seems to be like, oh, well, it's like, what, $10, $20? No big deal, right? Well, Christy Lynn Goss may be guilty of fraud, but not crimes against fashion. The 44-year-old Goss was previously employed at the administrative assistant to a judge in Garland County, Arkansas. That is until authorities accused her of fraudulently charging $200,000 to a Garland County credit card. Garland used the card to purchase a diamond bracelet, tickets to the Arkansas Razorbacks football games. Yeah, because, you know, that's government business, right? And sequenced throw pillows and pet insurance. Yep, pet insurance, that's a thing. According to the Associated Press. Oh, and admittedly an adorable tuxedo for her doggie. Goss was set to set trial on Tuesday, but opted to plead guilty in pretrial hearing on Monday to 6 felony counts of fraudulent use of the county's credit card, according to the Hot Springs Sentinel Record. She'll be sentenced on November 22nd. Arkansas State Police started the investigation on Goss back in July, after an auditor noticed some discrepancy on Garland's county credit card in May. I didn't know counties had a credit card. That, why would you have a credit card for a whole county? And I was like, is it a really big card? I'm just saying, it's got to hold a lot of money. The audit found Goss, an administrative assistant to Garland County Judge Rick Davis, had used the county credit card for years for personal purchases and to pay her bills. Wish I could do that. She was fired by the judge after the audit, according to KATV.com. Now, Goss is potentially facing 3 and 20 years for each count, but she's getting a surprising amount of support on Twitter for the way she dressed her pug. And that's the type of dog it was. It was a pug here. Here are some of the tweets, and they're really kind of funny. This one goes, what's the problem? He looks great. Another one was, okay, but the county needed to see that dog in a tuxedo. It was good for the people. Another one here. We should invest in an infrastructure. No. Okay. How about a dog tuxedo? Where do I sign?
Take my money.
Take my money. I want to put a tuxedo on a dog. Final tweet that was listed here says, I would use all the county funds to buy this dog all the tuxedo suits. You're a bad citizen. I'm just saying. Kind of your thoughts.
Well, what else do they have to live for in Arkansas? I wanted this dog to start doing the Men in Black. Well, there's either 6 or 7 felony charges. I saw another article, which may be that many. And so I'm like, wait, that's 3 to 20 years for each count. No, I don't think that the state should have to pay for her incarceration this entire time. I think that she should be made to repay what she stole. You know, this is embezzlement. But yeah, she used it to pay her utilities and clothes. She paid, and this is probably if somehow double dipping, because she used it to pay for her kids' school lunches. And I'm like, wait, is this like one of those downward spiral things? You know, this began in 2012. She started doing this in 2012, and they just now caught her.
You know what makes me wonder is that we talk about stories like this all the time. You see stories like this all the time. It makes me wonder. I've seen it happen here in the town that I live in too, that we had a lady that was doing the same kind of thing. She was doing embezzlement, and I wonder how it begins. Like, oh, I'm at the store, and I'm just like, I'm short a little cash. I've got the county credit card, and I intend to pay it back later, maybe, or I'll just like, I need to buy this other thing, and I just didn't have enough cash. I'll just put it in the card. I'll pay them back later. Or they go, well, no one seemed to caught it. Or maybe they paid it back right away. And so they put it back, the money back in the treasury, and no one noticed it. And there's a, well, no one's noticing what's going on, so maybe I can just keep pushing the limits. And eventually, it's like you're over $200,000 you've stolen from the county or the state or whatever.
Eventually, you literally screw the pooch.
Mm-hmm. And make sure that pooch is wearing a tuxedo when you do it. I'm just saying.
So. Hey, by the way, what do you call a dog with no legs?
No, it doesn't matter because he's not showing up anyway.
Damn it. Damn it. I was hoping you didn't know that one. It doesn't matter. He won't come when you call.
Right. I've heard so many. Some of them I've known for years and I've just completely forgotten, but that one took me and was like, wait, oh yeah, I know that one.
I just think that they shouldn't incarcerate her. I don't think that's going to make a difference. I think that she should be made to force and work and repay it.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah,
I agree.
Myself, but.
I agree. She should repay this. I mean, if it takes her incarceration to do so, I mean, $200,000, that's a lot of money.
However that long that takes, at whatever they pay, but that should be the goal.
Yeah.
But,
I don't think the county will ever re-see all that money anyway. So, I mean, but who knows?
Probably not.
Yeah, probably not. Atheist Ranger, your thoughts?
Well, Arkansas is one of the most poor states in the union, and I think I'm starting to see why. If it took her 5 years to catch up, the person who was committing fraud.
Yeah.
Embezzlement.
As
far as dressing the dog up in a tuxedo, I'd never really got those kind of people. I mean, I had an ex-boyfriend who used to do that, and it's not only does the dog look ridiculous, in my opinion, but now I had to pet his dog without trying to feel like a freaking pedophile. Can I get up your shirt there, Barney?
Let me make you a little more comfortable. Button that shit. Oh, God.
All right. For full disclosure, I used to have a poodle, and we had a little sweater for him, and he loved it. He felt really nice in it, I suppose. I mean, you know, the other dogs didn't like make fun of him, I guess. It was like, ah, you're wearing a shirt. Like, yeah, I know. Don't bug me.
See, that's the difference between you and me. I make this look great.
That's right. There you go.
I mean, they got coats for dogs now and all kinds of weird stuff. You know?
Yeah. Well, there's this one coat that you can get for your dog. It's supposed to be something you put on them like when you have their thunderstorms, so they feel like they're safe. It makes them feel safe, I guess.
Right.
So, did you have any digital thoughts on that there, Matt?
Well, you know, stuff like this happens all the time, you know, embezzlement or fraudulent, you know, whatever. I mean, especially here in Illinois, there's a woman in Dixon, Illinois. She was, I forget what her position was, but she was kind of a big wig up there. And she basically did the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stole money and, you know, used it for her lavish lifestyle and did, I mean, it was a lot more than $200,000. It was like in the millions, I think.
Wow.
Yeah. And, so, I mean, this isn't something new. It just happens all the time.
Yeah, it does happen.
And it takes a while for people to catch it because some of these people are slick, you know?
Oh yeah. Yeah. They're the ones that are actually handling the books and that they leave for some reason and somebody else has to do the job. Then their whole scheme comes unraveled at that point.
Right. Or they can somehow manage to get away with it altogether, you know, if they're that smart, you know.
Yeah. Putting offshore accounts, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We were investing. Well, how do you figure that, you know?
Well, it's all the political game.
Yeah.
It's scams.
It is.
No, and they get away with it, you know.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So. Sometimes they do. Sometimes they don't. So I guess it's all how everybody thinks that they're smarter than the system, and they don't realize that at some point the system is going to come up and catch them.
Why does everyone keep thinking I'm a troll?
And this is actually the segment we would have our true or troll, but we're going to put a little spin on it tonight because if you listen to the show in archive, Connie, our co-host, this is going to be our last show with us tonight. Well, she'd probably be back visiting occasionally if she wants to. She's going to be moving on to other things. And instead of our regular true or troll segment that she would normally be doing with us tonight, she's going to kind of ask her co-host questions. Maybe she's trying to troll us. I don't know. We'll find out. Connie, you had some questions for us?
Yes. I don't know how this is trolling because I don't know the answers to these questions. But all right. But
well, maybe we got to troll you, I guess. I don't know.
Okay.
Inquiring minds want to know.
Yeah, there you go.
To figure out if you're telling me the truth.
Right, exactly. There we go.
Oh. Oh, damn. I wasn't ready for that. Nor the Spanish Inquisition, but okay. all right. Let me start with Tony. You there, Tony?
I'm not here.
Sorry. Shoot. Can we? I'm sorry. Atheist Ranger. Damn it.
It's fine.
Okay. DC or Marvel?
That's a tough one. I'm not much into the superhero universe, but if I had to say, I'd have to say Marvel.
Oh, okay. A bigger universe. Let's see. Number two for you, Tony. What is your favorite memory from your, whether, you know, just childhood up till now? What would be your favorite memory?
My favorite memory is, that is a tough one. Probably the first concert I ever went to. I went to a Joan Jett concert with my father.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yep.
That must have been really good. And this is one I plan on asking everybody, but okay, if you could just change one thing about religion/belief, either in general or specifically, what would that be?
If I could change anything about religion or beliefs, is that your question?
Yeah. Yes.
I would make it disappear.
Thank you.
No problem. It's an honest answer.
Yeah, no, it's like, that's fine. That's great. I was kind of thinking that was probably going to be what I was going to get, you know, from people, but I was curious. Okay, Matt.
Yes.
What is your favorite holiday?
Oh, good question. Thanksgiving. Get to eat all the turkey.
You get to eat and eat.
That's right. Gotta have that turkey.
What's more fun than eating? I'm just saying, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you got to eat, right? So.
Okay. Of genres of music, Matt, which one do you love and which one would you love to eliminate from existence?
It's a tough one. Well, I love classic rock. I know that for a fact.
Okay.
The one that I would eliminate? Oh, boy. Yeah. Probably rap.
There you go. I guess I remember polka and all this other. I don't know why.
Everybody loves the polka.
Polka this and polka that. Okay, and repeat on that other question. If you could change one thing about religion and or belief, whether it's in general or specific, what would that be?
Ooh, I'd have to follow Tony on that one.
Just make it disappear.
Poof. Make it disappear.
Oh,
it'll be beautiful.
We're not only atheists, we're magicians as well.
That's right.
Ever to Deborah.
That's right.
We've never met before, have we? Okay, this last one is going to be tougher because I've known Packard longer.
Yes. There's almost nothing you know about me. I've talked about so much things.
Okay, I'm almost afraid to ask you this, but...
Oh, no.
If you could have phenomenal cosmic power, what would you do?
What would I do? Lay back on a beach, I guess. I don't go, yeah, I want a drink. There it is. Actually, I think I'd probably be bored, honestly, because if I could do anything I wanted to, I'd be, I don't know. Yeah, you ever seen, if you ever are familiar with the Star Trek genre, Q, I'd probably be doing something like, I'd probably be like Q and just having fun.
That's the intrinsic problem with the movie Groundhog Day, because he's just like, he can do whatever he wants, pretty much within that universe, whatever he wants to, and he becomes very bored.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And he's like, okay, I'm completely bored. What do I do? All right, I'm gonna learn a skill, learn new things. I would probably either do, I'd probably either be Q, or I would learn, or I would try to learn stuff, you know, or if I didn't already know it, you know.
I guess I think he probably reverse that though, but yeah, it's like,
probably a little bit of both.
And learn what I want, and it's like, yeah, I'm just gonna be Q and mess with people.
Yeah, sure.
I'm trying to pick out the next question I want to ask you. Okay. All right. This, you get this one. What is your favorite Keanu Reeves movie?
I don't know which ones he's done.
Come on. I don't know you anymore. Oh my God.
I don't know. I don't watch too many movies. I don't know. He was in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure and all that stuff? Yeah. Was that him? Oh, then that would be Bill and Ted.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Be excellent to each other. Thank you for that.
Yeah, they talk about Socrates in the movie.
Socrates! That's right. That guy. Socrates.
It's only the tagline for my YouTube channel, damn it. Be excellent to each other.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. Yes. No, okay. Well, I'm going to go ahead and ask you this same question. If you could change one thing about religion and or belief in general or specifically, what would that be?
Okay. Well, not that I don't disagree with Tony and Atheist Ranger and Matt. Not, I kind of would like to see it go away, but I'd like to see it go away differently, actually. I'd like to see it where it would be thought of as just, you know, like, look at Thanksgiving. We don't take it seriously. We just go out, we just do it, we have a fun time. You know, we get together, we talk and things like that, and we we eat and we watch TV or whatever. We don't take it super seriously. There's no pageantry around it. No one has to die. I mean, if I was to change anything about religion, I would make it like Thanksgiving. We would just get together, eat, and just have a good time, and no one takes any of it seriously. And because, you know, people like to do things, you know, so why don't we just have a good time and just be together, you know? We don't necessarily have to say we have to have a belief in a deity, otherwise someone's going to burn forever. That's just horrible. But if you just get together and say, hey, let's just have a good time, I'm good with that.
Yeah, I would agree with Packard on that.
Thank you. Yeah, I agree too.
I mean, it's more, you know, some people just take it to the extreme and, you know, they're so gung-ho about it. But, you know, as far as, you know, I mean, it's like Christmas, you know, people get together for Christmas for, you know, for their families and, you know, it's togetherness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I think that Thanksgiving is more a better example because it's more of a secular holiday. It's not, there's no rituals that's attached to it, you know?
Right.
So. Yeah, we're communal. We're communal, and that tends to be what draws us together. Are things that we agree on and stuff like that. So it's and food.
Yeah,
right.
And food.
Gotta have that turkey.
Gotta have turkey or ham or whatever it is you want. I don't know. It doesn't really matter.
I prefer turkey.
I've made ribs on Thanksgiving. I'm just saying. I've done that where no one was gonna be here. It was just gonna be me. It's like, I'm making ribs. That's what I'm having. I'm having ribs for Thanksgiving. Why not?
There you go.
Yeah. I've also done that.
If you don't have turkey, though, then you can't have that sandwich the next day with cranberry. Oh,
I can buy turkey anytime. It doesn't matter.
Well, thank you, guys.
You're welcome. And Connie, we are going to miss you so much. And I want everybody to know that Connie and I have been recording the Atheist, the Bible, and the Wardrobe. If you're not familiar with the podcast, I've only mentioned about 100 million times each show. But we have gobs of recordings. So on the next episode, you're going to be hearing her again and again and again for quite a while yet. So don't think that she's going away anytime soon, although that will be coming to an end at some point. But she will probably be back to visit, you know, and read with us again, with me and the next person that I've got lined up. I won't to spoil it for you. So until we get to that point, because we haven't sat down and done any recordings yet. So that's a whole other thing yet to do. So, but Connie and I have read a lot together, and we don't take that book seriously. Nobody should take that book seriously. So we just kind of sit there and we just talk back and forth and discuss it and read it. And we just have a good time. And that's how when I said I wanted religion just to not take this stuff seriously, we don't take that Bible seriously. We just have a good time reading it. We get a little angry sometimes because the people that were in the Bible do some really horrible things to each other in the name of their imaginary sky wizard. And it's very, very irritating. So when we get angry about religion on the show, it's for good reason, for damn good reason.
Oh, yes. Yes, I agree. And I will miss the show. It's been almost, in January, February, it would have been 5 years to be with Packard Pokesat. And what is it? 2-3 years now with Tatban, I don't know.
Yeah, almost 2 years. Yeah, almost so, going on 2 years now for Tatban. Almost, well, give or take.
This show has been, such a real fun and engaging and educational experience for me. So I've loved talking with you, Packard, and with Tony and Matt, Tom, Crystal, Dave, Joe, all of our. I got to talk with so many YouTubers and podcast people. I mean, it's been a real experience and a great one. Mm-hmm. To be able to take a topic and talk off the cuff and try not to ramble. Guess what? I'm probably the worst here at doing that, but
second only to me.
just but I was always scripted on my channel. And anyway, so long story short, it's been a very difficult decision to come to, but I just can't. I realized I can't do it all, and I look forward to coming back and visiting and doing being the guest, you know, not being the co-host and things in the future. But for now, I just need to do other things in my life. So I'm going to miss you all so much.
Yeah, we had a couple comments from the chat room. Paul Marshall, the real Paul Marshall, not the fake Paul Marshall, the real Paul Marshall. He says, I'm going to try to pronounce this because he's typing these in. I can't pronounce this. Salente Mehathith. Cad Benin, Bane Minion. I'm not sure how he pronounces that.
Oh God! Now I'm regretting not reading it, Packard.
I'm sorry. And then he goes on to say, "Nico-san,
he's saying good night.
Oh, he's saying good night. Oh, and that one he's saying good
night. Nico-san, he's saying good night.
Oh, okay.
I remember that. Okay. Good night, real Paul Marshall.
Yeah. Good night, Paul Marshall. So. Yeah, we're going to miss you here on the show greatly. So,
yes, we are.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Especially since you usually take all the notes and I'm going to have to work. Now I'm going to have to make Matt work harder now. Matt, it falls on you.
Oh, God.
You better step up your game, man. You're going to step up your game.
Way to break it to him. Oh, my
God. Look what you did to poor Matt.
I'm still there. I'm just letting it all sink in.
Matt's thinking, oh yeah, just wait till you see my notes. No. We'll be laughing then.
I'll be going, Matt, why is there a squirrel's face on this note? I don't understand.
Oh boy.
Oh my God. Oh no.
Well, I thank you for the laughs, Connie, and laughing at my stupid jokes. You've been my best audience ever. So,
I love jokes, and I've loved sharing the mic with you. It's been awesome.
Yes, it has been a very awesome ride with you for the last several years. Most excellent. And be excellent to each other. All right. With that saying, we should get out of here. And I will look forward to seeing you around the Twitterverse, the YouTubeverse, and the Facebook, and wherever else. And you know where I am. You know our address.
We'll find us. We'll see you there on that internet.
Yeah, yes. we're on the internet. She knows where to find us. So. Oh, speaking of podcasters, real quick here, before we get going, one more last thing here. We're going to have a guest host on the 1st of October, and that's going to be Tucker Drake from the Atheist in the Trailer Park podcast. He's going to be joining us for a guest host appearance, and we'll be interviewing him on the show. So come and join us for that the first week of October, the first Friday of October, and we're going to have him on with us. So. Next week, we're going to be talking about something that's kind of interesting topic. It's an important topic that I think we should discuss is for our OK Let's Talk since the end of the month. We're going to be discussing being an atheist and dealing with death. So that'll be an interesting conversation. I mean, how do you deal with death as an atheist, especially when you have relatives around you that, you know, that have that mentality, especially the religious and whatnot. Anyway, that'll be an interesting discussion. So join us again for next Friday for that show. All right. Until next week, this has been Packard Pokes That. We just poked at your news.
And that's a wrap.